Okay, so it's just coming through right now. Marie might be on her way to tell us, but I'm here to tell you. University of Michigan Board of Regents has unanimously approved Kent Sivarod, the former chancellor of Syracuse University, as the next president of the University of Michigan. They apparently they had their meeting starting at 1, and they did it quickly. University of Michigan unanimously okays Kent Sivarod as new president, and I like to say, welcome back home. And we will, Mike, as soon as you can, we will get him, you know, as soon as they'll let him come on, we'll have him on the air and welcome him and wish him good luck, that's for sure. Okay, today marks the beginning of the 28th year of service in this position. He has served this area for far more than 28 years in a variety of positions. But today, Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard starts his 28th year as sheriff. I cannot believe that, Michael.
Man, you and me both. I mean, you blink and all of a sudden it's like, what happened to the time? What happened to all of the things that, you know, just fly by you? They're memories now.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this. All of our memories about you and the work you've done have been very good, because you have done a tremendous job in a very difficult situation. Any kind of public service, public position, to get through it without some kind of controversy or anything else, you've never done that because you're such a straight shooter and you're so good at your job. I just want to say the folks of Oakland County and all the folks of Michigan are lucky to have you, Mike Bouchard, and your lovely wife, Pam, the woman behind the man, for all these years in this position, and for that matter, the positions you held before you became sheriff.
You're so kind, and you're a dear friend. And yeah, I'm blessed. You know, I'm super content and happy and honored to have the life that I've had and the positions that I've held in the trust of the community. And, you know, I started as a police officer, kind of, as you know, accidentally. I went away to college to be a physician and started volunteering with programs that was helping kids that had been abused. And I just couldn't believe anybody would hurt a child, would commit violence against a woman or a child. And those two areas is where I was volunteering. So I changed my major from pre-medicine to pre-law and got my degree in police administration. And next thing you know, at 19, I'm a cop. And my parents are like, wait, what happened?
Well, you've been helping. I remember many years ago, and I don't know what position you were in. Maybe you were already sheriff. Many years ago, we worked together to remind parents. Imagine we had to do this at the time. But we reminded parents not to let their kids take their computers up into their room and close the door, because then in a sense, it was like letting the guy with the raincoat that would come knock on your front door and say, hi, can I go up into the bedroom with your child? And you'd say no, but you were doing that if you let the kids take the computer up there.
Yeah, that was the evolution that I've watched in my career as a 19-year-old cop. There was no such thing, believe it or not. People think, boy, you're a fossil. There was no such thing as the internet. There was no such thing as cell phones. So child predators had to physically, you know, themselves present themselves around schools, around, you know, places where people were playing video games, you know, pinball games back in the day. And now, you know, they can hide in a basement in nowhere America or across the world and contact your child, who may be in the safety of their home but not safe in their bedroom, because they're talking to a predator who's trying to convince them to meet them or do things.
Yeah, we've come a long way, that's for sure. But we've had to deal with a lot, and you've held our hand through much of it. I do want to ask you some questions, difficult questions, about the whole thing in Minneapolis, the woman being shot. First of all, I'll give you my opinion. You can tell me I'm right or wrong, but I just think everyone reacted too quickly on both sides. People had answers that they couldn't have possibly had without an investigation. People made charges against both sides before it was even possible. I'm just wondering, how do you think we got to this point where people so desperately don't trust ICE? I mean, I don't know who decided to make them look like the firstborn child of the Central Park Rangers from Elf and a Star Wars stormtrooper, but they are scary looking from the beginning, and their approach is not exactly the approach I would suggest. But what happened? This president isn't kicking out more people than, for example, President Barack Obama did. He kicked out more people at this point, and yet he didn't get this kind of pushback.
Right. There's been an evolution of politicians and rhetoric. You know, as you mentioned, President Obama, President Clinton, in a address to Congress, talked about, you know, you're welcome to come to America as long as you come here and follow our rules and laws in the process. And there's been an evolution where people have said, well, that doesn't matter how they got here, and they should be allowed to stay here, even if they're committing crimes once they get here. And so that kind of evolution of some people actually not only saying it, but pushing it in the streets. And that's what's become the real challenge. You may disagree with immigration laws or any kind of laws, and the place to resolve that is in Congress or in a state legislature. And if there's an arrest made, if there's a conflict or a concern about the charges, the place to resolve that is in court. It's not in the street. And we've moved towards a society that thinks, well, I don't agree with that, so I'm going to go out and attempt to illegally try to stop whatever I don't agree with, whoever it is. And that's a dangerous thing, because that begins to crack the nation of laws that we're founded on. You know, and so when people start blocking ICE from doing a lawful extradition of an individual under congressional passed laws, they're committing a crime in and of itself. And again, I don't care what you think about a law. If it's the law, you can't impede it without the law being changed. If you want to change it, change it.
The only thing I could comment on when I saw the videos, and everyone else was making determinations that could not be made legitimately, but what I did see was a woman who was knowingly blocking a street. You're not supposed to do that. A woman who knowingly disregarded the order of a law enforcement officer when they said, get out of the car. You're not supposed to do that. And a woman who pulled away to get away from the officers when they've been asking her to get out of the car. You're not supposed to do that. Now, the rest of it is conjecture. I have no idea what it's like to have a big vehicle coming right at me. Unfortunately, that officer did, because they'd been dragged down the street in Minneapolis in days gone by. But is an officer, I want to ask you this procedurally, is an officer in that situation supposed to stand in front of the vehicle thinking that might stop them, or was that a bad decision?
No, they're not supposed to. You don't stand in front of a vehicle with the intent of stopping that vehicle. But again, no one really knows what happened until there's a full investigation. You know, and my analogy is if you watch an NFL game, they have cameras literally placed everywhere, and they still can't figure out, was his knee down when the ball came out or not? So all of this has to be examined in detail, investigated, and make a determination in the mind of the agent at the time.
With 1 second to think about it.
Right. Did he feel his life or someone else was in immediate jeopardy? That's going to be the linchpin of this. And that investigation has to determine yes or no. And that determination can't be made in the first hours or even days. I've been, you know, involved in, as you know, many, many cases. And the initial information of what you get is just a small part of what you need to make a factual determination. So
would you?
What? Yep.
Go ahead. Finish your thought. I was just going to ask if you, because you were an officer on the beat on the street, would you have unholstered your weapon in that situation? Because none of the other officers did.
Well, again, it's going to come down to the perception of the individual officer that drew. Did they believe their life or someone else's was in immediate jeopardy? I saw a video once, the first video from a shooting, and I looked at it, and like a lot of people, that doesn't look good, because the video angle of that particular video showed a guy running away, And an officer shot that person running away, and it looked like that person got shot in the back. But then another camera that they found mounted on a different angle on a store showed the angle that the officer who fired saw, and that was the person had a gun out and was turning, pointing that gun at someone else that was off camera, and that's when the other officer discharged their weapon. So it's all going to come down to the angles and the perception, and that's what all these legal machinations will hang on. And people jumping out and saying, well, I would have or wouldn't have, and you can't know that because all the facts and all the angles and all of the debriefs haven't happened yet. And so, you know, that's going to be, there's times when I've unsnapped my sidearm on the side of a road because, you know, things felt very unsafe. There were a lot of furtive movements in the car, and somebody dropped the car in the drive when they were already parked, and you're wondering what they're going to do next. So a lot of that comes down to an instantaneous decision. And unlike the NFL, you know, you don't have the luxury of going back and reviewing it from 12 angles before the decision is affirmed or denied.
Right. So well put, Sheriff Mike Bouchard, Oakland County Sheriff, starting his 28th year in that position today. And I wish for you nothing but a safe, fabulous new year. Because I always worry about you as your friend for many years, Mike. So be careful out there.
Thank you, my friend. You have a great day.
Give our best to Pam, the woman behind the man, Pam Bouchard. Mike Bouchard, Oakland County Sheriff. Paul W. Smith in Focus on WJR.